Prologue. At some point, I'm going to have to write all this shit down, as if anyone will ever believe it. I'm nearly 50 years old and sitting in the cockpit of an F-16. Our formation is about to launch and drop the equivalent of 45 Hiroshima bombs on a target near one of the most densely populated areas in the world. I've got one group of people paying me to do it. I've got another group paying me to stop it. And I've got pretty damn good reasons to be pissed at both of them. How in the hell did it all come to this? I'm a contractor. The only thing I'm supposed to care about is my own ass. The Viper is humming around me, the powerful GE engine whistling in the sleek airframe. Like a falcon quivering in anticipation atop his handler's gauntlet, the deadly jet seems anxious to take to the skies and seek its prey. I feel a grim sense of expectation as I sit here in the air-conditioned cockpit, the plastic oxygen mask clamped to my face and the lightweight helmet cushioning my head. The performance-enhancing drugs are coursing through my system, increasing the angst and the anticipation. I look at the jets around me through the tinted visor as I gently caress the buttons and switches on the Viper's side stick controller and throttle. I'm eager to unleash the jet's full fury, to get into the sky and kick some ass. I just hope I'm good enough to survive the next 20 minutes. But I'd rather be lucky than good. Chapter 1. Friday, 4 September, 1900 hours local time. Hartsfield International Airport, Atlanta, Georgia, USA. It all started with a phone call that turned my life upside down. The first sip of 12-year-old Macallan was easing its way down my throat when I felt the vibration of my BlackBerry in its holster, followed closely by the opening bars of AC/DC's Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. The strains of Angus Young's guitar were barely audible above the din of background noise in the bar at the Atlanta International Airport. I silently thanked the cell phone gods for the vibration feature again. After 27 years of flying jet aircraft for a living, my high-frequency hearing isn't all it should be. I pulled the BlackBerry from the holster and looked at the screen. The caller ID came in as unknown, and I briefly considered not taking the call. I had just come off a 5-day trip as captain of a Falcon 900EX business jet. The trip had not gone well, and I was hoping I hadn't lost a regular client as a result. In the contract pilot game, regular clients are the bread and butter. Losing one is serious business. I was looking forward to forgetting the last few days by putting on a nice whiskey-induced buzz, riding Delta back to Philadelphia, and getting sloshed on my own single malt collection when I made it home. But I'm a contractor, and contractors answer their phones or they don't work. It's as simple as that. I hit the green button. "Colin Pierce," I said. "Mr. Pierce." It was a statement, not a question. The voice was flat with no inflection, like a machine. "Contractor." "That's me," I replied. 8,050 hours total time. Type-rated and current in the Falcon 900EX and the Gulfstream 4 with over 2,000 hours pilot and command time in each. The machine voice was unimpressed with my spiel and remained flat. "We have a job to discuss with you. It pays $1,000 a day. Are you interested?"
"What's the equipment?"
"We'll talk about that when we interview you. When can you make it to Atlanta?" I could have made a show of putting him on hold for a second or two while I checked my calendar, but I just didn't feel like making the effort. I knew my schedule was clear for the upcoming week.
"Well, probably within the next few days, unless," I laughed quietly,
"you'd like to interview me tonight or tomorrow. As luck would have it, I'm in the Atlanta airport right now, making a flight connection."
"Tonight will be fine," the voice said as if it were unimpressed by that coincidence. "We're in a hurry. We'll pay you $1,000 for your time tonight, put you up in a suite at the airport Marriott, and give you a first-class seat on a morning flight to Philly tomorrow. What do you say?"